Our focus for study this evening will be 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, so you can keep that open as we come to it now. This morning we thought in broad terms about the reason why we have elders in the church. We saw how the Lord Jesus has commanded that we have elders in the church. I want to think more specifically this evening about what it is that elders are to do in the church, having been appointed and ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ. What do elders do? It's the first thing, of course, you need to know in any job you take on, and even before you take it on, if you're considering it or if you are asked to do it, first question you're going to have is, what's the job description? What is it that I will need to do or be able to do? And given as we considered this morning that serving as a church elder is serving under Jesus Christ, doing a job that he has specifically commanded be done in his church, it's all the more important that we know what this job involves. So what are elders supposed to do? Well, the Bible provides us with a wonderful picture to help us understand it, the picture of a shepherd caring for his sheep. Shepherd is just another word for pastor. Pastor comes from the Latin word for shepherd. So pastor, shepherd, they're really one and the same. Jesus, of course, over and over again in the Bible, is described as a shepherd, as the shepherd. Mentioned already, Mark chapter 6, verse 34, when Jesus saw thousands of people on the hillsides of Galilee, Mark tells us that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus says of himself in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And here in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter describes Jesus as the chief shepherd. It's important to remember that, friends, because of course no church elders, as I said this morning, none of us, humanly speaking, are perfect. We are flawed. We wrestle with our own sins and feelings that we have to repent of every day. And so we can't vote for or expect to have perfect church elders. But church elders are in the service of the perfect elder, the perfect shepherd, the chief shepherd. And that's our comfort and that's our reassurance, both as those who will vote for elders and those of us who are in the office of elder, that we are not reliant upon those voted into office or ordained to office. We all look to our chief shepherd. That's why we sometimes refer to the role of elder as an under-shepherd, that we are serving under Christ over the flock. And so by the help of the Holy Spirit, elders ought to be like him in our care for the church. And that's what Peter emphasizes here by mentioning the chief shepherd. It focuses, or it ought to focus, the thoughts of his readers on what kind of care the elders to whom he is writing are to provide for their people, and so for us today as well. And so five ways from this passage that elders are to shepherd the flock of God's people, Christ's sheep. Five ways that they are to do it. First of all, elders are to lovingly lead the sheep. Shepherds, elders, are to lovingly lead the sheep. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 2 and 3. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. And he goes on, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Shepherd the flock of God willingly, not domineering. In our part of the world, sheep are rounded up when they need to be taken in to the sheds or into the yard. The sheep are rounded up. The shepherd walks behind them, or he sends those wonderful sheep dogs to run around them and round them up. I saw this fantastic video. I'm sure there's thousands, if not millions, of videos of sheep dogs, but there was one appeared on my phone somewhere over the Christmas holidays. This sheep dog, just with lightning pace, in the space of a few seconds, had bolted down into the field, run round the sheep, and in no time had herded these sheep up toward the farmer. And so that's how it's done in our part of the world. But in the Middle East, sheep were led. I don't know if it's still the case today in the wilderness of the Middle East, but certainly in Jesus' day, sheep were led rather than herded and rounded up. The shepherd would be out in front of them, and they listened to the voice of the shepherd, and they followed where he would go. I'm sure I've used the story before, previously preaching on this subject or on other subjects like it, but there's the story of the traveler in the Middle East who sat down in some shade under a tree, and he's out in the middle of the wilderness, really, and he sees two shepherds coming along almost at the exact same time, one shepherd coming from this direction, the other coming from that direction, and they both have huge flocks of sheep following behind them. And they stop under the tree as well just to get a break, maybe get a drink, get some rest. And the traveler is sitting here thinking, well, all these sheep are now intermingling. They're huge, two flocks all mixed up. How are they going to know whose is whose? And then the shepherds each get up to go on their way. And the traveler realizes there's no problem at all figuring out who's who, because as the shepherds walk off and call their sheep, both flocks know the voice of their own shepherd, and they follow him. That's the work that shepherds are to do in the church as well. This is what the Lord Jesus does for us. He leads us, Psalm 23, he leads me beside still waters. And the pastors, likewise, in the local church are to be leaders. Any church member should be able to look at the way an elder has gone before them in prayer or in evangelism or in love for God's word or in commitment to Christ's church. Any church member should be able to look at that lead and say, I can follow that lead. I can follow his example when it comes to those things. Notice how Peter says the pastors ought to lead, verse 3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. The NIV has not lording it over those entrusted to you. Domineering or lording over someone means acting as though you're more important than them, just sort of treating them with short shrift. A pastor in a church has no grounds for acting like that. It's not to lord it over anyone in the church. Christ alone is our chief shepherd, our perfect shepherd, and he loves the church. He loves his people, his sheep, with humble, self-sacrificing, servant-hearted love. I am among you, Jesus said, as one who serves. A proud, pushy, bullying pastor is a contradiction in terms. Shouldn't exist. He's not qualified to hold the office. Instead, elders ought to lead by example out of love for the sheep. Elders, of course, do need to speak in the course of their work, whether it's on a pastoral visit or at other times. It's a qualification for elders that they be able to teach God's word, not necessarily to preach it, but certainly to teach it. But much of an elder's leadership comes through example. Peter says to be examples to the flock. If you want to know what a man of prayer looks like, you should be able to look at your elders. The commitment to worship that we urge upon you as members should be a commitment exemplified in the elders. Whether it's in the realm of worship, work, family, or hobbies, under-shepherds of Jesus need to be able to say, do what I do, not just what I say. And if we have elders like that, and I'm thankful to have two elders alongside me in this church like that, then following them will be a joy. A man who is particularly loving as Jesus is loving, gentle, compassionate, a man who knows and loves his Bible, of course we'll want to follow him. Of course we'll want to listen to him. We'll want to speak to our family members as he speaks to his. We'll want to witness and pray like him. And so when it comes time to vote for elders, friends, you should vote for men who already give an example to others, whether they realize it or not, whether they intend to or not. One preacher has said, elders should be elected when they already exist. We should vote for someone who is already an example, already a man of Christ-like grace. In what other job would you choose someone in hopes that someday they will be qualified for it? In the most crucial positions, it's the person who's qualified now who gets it, and who can be trusted to lead by word and deed. And that's to be the case in the church. Pastors are to lead with love the sheep, the flock, entrusted to their care. And then coming out of that, developing on from that, pastors, elders are to shepherd the sheep. They are to shepherd the sheep. I mentioned it this morning. Jeremy Rinn has written this little book in the Nine Marks series. There's a few other good books on elders I can recommend to you. You can see it's a very small volume. But Church Elders, How to Shepherd God's People Like Jesus. Again, well worth reading, no matter what position you have in the church or whether you'll ever be an elder or not. Good book to read. And in his book, he has one chapter entitled, Pastors Should Smell Like Sheep. And you might be thinking that sounds like a bit of a weird chapter title. But some of you will know very well what he means. Some of you have grown up on farms or going to farms. You know what it is to come in from the milking parlor, from the fields, and your wife doesn't have to ask the wife doesn't have to ask the farmer where he's been. The smell tells her he's been doing his work. He's been out amongst the animals. He's been in the fields. He's been seeing to the needs of those under his care. Growing up, I would often visit. Some of our cousins lived on a dairy farm, and we go out and spend time with them there, and the cows always looked all the same to me, just one big patchwork, dozens and dozens of black and white cows. But the farmer knows exactly which is which at a mere glance. He knows how healthy they are, how well they're feeding in the fields or in the sheds, whether or not they're bearing offspring. And a good shepherd likewise knows his sheep. He spends time with them. He knows which are well, which need feeding up, which are ill, which are going to wander off. And likewise, then the picture carries over to the church. A good spiritual shepherd is among his sheep, spends time with the sheep, knows the sheep, is interested in the sheep. David Dixon, a Scottish elder, lived in the 1800s. His little book, The Elder and His Work, again, very well worth reading. And here's what he says about how the relationship ought to be between the elder and the members. If possible, he says, every elder should personally know every member of the congregation, which in our smaller congregations will not be difficult. He must be acquainted with them all, old and young, their history, their occupations, their habits, their ways of thinking, so that they naturally turn to him as to one on whom they can depend as a faithful counselor. A wonderful, intimate picture there of the relationship that ought to be between elders and people. Some churches today talk about having a board of elders. A board of elders. Now, there's nothing wrong with referring to your elders that way, but it can perhaps give the impression that the main work of elders is administrative and organizational. You know, that language of a board comes from the world of business, really. And that can be the impression that they're running an organization rather than seeing to the personal needs of the people. Peter says, 1 Peter 5, to shepherd the flock of God. Notice he says, that is among you. So get in amongst your people is what he's saying. It's a very strange shepherd that's not willing to spend time with the sheep. You wouldn't think much of a shepherd or a farmer that just sits in the house all day and leaves the sheep or the cattle to it out in the hills 24/7. Yes, elders need to be on top of the policies and procedures and plans for a church, but they ought to be far more concerned with the people in the church. Jeremy Rinn says, elders must resist the drift toward being mere organizational managers. Instead, we're to prioritize knowing the personalities and needs and concerns of the sheep. And that's one of the reasons why, as we'll see next week, God willing, one of the qualifications for elders is that they be hospitable. It's one of the reasons we have our monthly home groups, a better opportunity perhaps to spend time together as fellow church members, but also for your elders. And why, according to the code of our church, we seek to visit every member and family at least once each year. So the pastors, the elders, are to lovingly lead the sheep. We're to shepherd the sheep, be in amongst them. Thirdly, elders are to feed the sheep. We're to feed the sheep. And of course, there's little that's more vital for sheep than that they have a shepherd who feeds them and feeds them with what will be healthy and nutritious for them. It's the first thing we're told in Psalm 23 that the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, does. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he says. Pastures where there will be good nourishment for the sheep. Again, it would reflect very poorly on a shepherd if his sheep were scrawny and sickly looking. Imagine what the neighboring shepherds and farmers would be saying. It's no exaggeration to say, friends, that today there are some very spiritually scrawny Christians, not growing in knowledge and understanding and of the Lord Jesus Christ, not encountering God in his holiness and righteousness and justice when they come to a worship service, because their elders or whoever it is that's leading in their church are not feeding them the word of God. In fact, in some cases, to their shame, elders in churches today get in the way of a preacher serving up the word of God. Some churches, the leaderships are willing to fill the time that should be given to worship and to the reading and preaching of God's word with anything else they can think of, whether it be entertainment for children, entertainment for young adults, entertainment for adults. And even good things that have their place in church life can end up taking up time in worship where God's people should be being fed. Whether it's hearing a testimony or hearing about a really worthwhile ministry that the church can support or discussing a good Christian book, all of those things are great. They have their place in the fellowship and life of the church. But the chief responsibility of elders in the church is to ensure that the sheep are being fed the word of God. There's many, many other things that if your elders never do for you, they will not be failing you as long as they are making sure that you are fed God's word. And again, this doesn't necessarily mean that every elder has to preach. But certainly all elders have to be able to explain God's word and teach God's word in one form or another. If an elder is asked by someone, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? An elder should be able to give a clear, simple answer, as should many of the rest of us as well, of course, but certainly an elder should be able to do that. If an elder is asked to explain a tough passage of Scripture, he should at least know, have some idea of how to do it, and if he can't do it on the spot, he should be able to say, look, I'm not quite sure, but I'll study it, I'll get back to you. If you asked a builder to come to your house and build a wall, and he arrived and you realize this guy doesn't have the first notion how to build a wall, he can't even mix concrete, he can't build in a straight line, well, you'd think he's a pretty poor builder. How much more important is it that when sheep go to one of their shepherds, the shepherd is able to handle God's word and feed it to them? Remember, that was one of the great rebukes that Ezekiel gave to the so-called shepherds in his day, that they hadn't been feeding the word of God to the people of God. And of course, this is chiefly the responsibility of the teaching elder, but it is a responsibility shared by all the elders of a church to oversee the preaching, regardless of who is doing it, and to review the preaching regularly and ensure that the preacher is preaching as far as he is able by God's help effectively, getting his message across to the people. It's also the job of the ruling elders to speak to the teaching elder if his preaching is out of balance. Maybe there's a bit of a hobby horse that keeps on getting preached on, or a book of the Bible that keeps on getting turned back to, and there's not the diversity of teaching or subjects, or maybe there's a particular tone that is being struck and there needs to be more done in that department. This is the responsibility of all the elders, not just the teaching elder. And so, as I've mentioned before, my own preaching is regularly discussed in session, what I'm planning to preach, how a series might be going. The elders are given input on that. They speak to that, something we discuss and pray about together. And it's up to the elders to ensure that whoever preaches in the absence of a regular teaching pastor is qualified to preach, either another ordained man, or at least a man who has recognizable gifts and has expressed interest and is under the care of other men in the church to explore that gift for preaching. So friends, even if not every elder preaches themselves, they are overseers in this sense too, that they oversee when and how and by whom God's people are fed the word of God. Elders feed the sheep. Fourthly, elders, shepherds protect the sheep. They protect the sheep. Listen to what Paul said to the Ephesus elders before he left them. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, Paul said, be alert. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter likewise talks at length about false teachers who will come in and want to exploit the church and abuse the church. And another duty of every pastor elder is to, as far as they are able, by the help of God, protect the local congregation from false teachers and preachers. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. A true pastor, an under-shepherd of Christ, will protect the sheep, will never abandon them. Elders then need to be able to spot errors and false teaching. Perhaps they become aware of some particular book or celebrity Christian figure who's popular in the wider Christian world, preaching and teaching things that are subtly contradicting God's word. Every few years, something like that seems to happen. Elders need to be able to spot that, to discern that, and have their people on guard against that. But protecting the flock is not just about guarding against false teaching coming into the church. It also means going after straying sheep and bringing them back into the fold. Sometimes pastors, elders have to speak to members and out of love and concern challenge them about something that they have done or said, or a pattern of behavior that's publicly known and runs contrary to their profession of faith. It can be very daunting for elders to do that. Contact someone who hasn't been at worship in several weeks or months. Arrange to chat with them. It can be difficult to talk to someone about their lack of engagement, perhaps, in church life, or some issue that has erupted between them and another member or members. But a shepherd has to love his sheep enough to risk perhaps offending them at times. He has to love them more than he loves his own popularity or comfort. Perhaps he sometimes has to love the sheep enough to risk them being angry at them for a decision that they've made or a concern that they have. Now, no elder wants to cause offense or to hurt someone's feelings, but sometimes out of love, we have to risk it to protect sheep from some stray action that they've taken or some way towards which they seem to be wandering. Sometimes a shepherd will inflict a measured, controlled, necessary degree of pain on a sheep to save them from experiencing far worse pain. That's partly what the rod and staff symbolize in Psalm 23. Shepherd prodding sheep, seizing hold of sheep who are headed for ruin. So the shepherds are to protect the sheep. They're to lovingly lead. They're to shepherd. They're to feed the sheep. They're to protect them. And then fifthly and finally, shepherds are to plead for the sheep. They're to plead for the sheep. As the elders do all these things, as we lead, as we feed, as we protect, we do it all and at the same time pray. We plead for the sheep. Prayer is to be ongoing. It is to be undergirding all the elders' work. Jesus himself prayed for his flock regularly during his earthly ministry. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says that he prayed all night before he chose his 12 disciples. Remember, just hours before Jesus died, he was praying what is commonly called the high priestly prayer. And in that prayer, he prayed specifically for all his followers, past, present, and future. Acts chapter 6 tells us that as the needs of the church began to grow, one of the primary reasons, if not the primary reason, that the apostles and elders appointed deacons was so that the apostles and elders could focus on prayer and the preaching of the word. It's not to say, of course, that deacons shouldn't be praying about the work that they do, but their focus is to be on the practical financial needs of the congregation and the wider world. And elders are to have their focus on the spiritual and teaching and prayerful needs of God's people, the pastoral needs of God's people. Here's what Jeremy Rinn says about elders and prayer. He says, our spiritual inability, that's the spiritual inability of the elders, should drive us to call out for God's power to bring growth to our congregations. If the demanding scope and humanly impossible success criteria of an elder's job description are not enough to send him pleading to heaven for help, one glance in the mirror should do it. One glance in the mirror, he says, should be enough for elders to be pleading to the Lord Jesus Christ for the needs of the flock that we ourselves cannot meet. The great paradox of the church pastor, the church elder, of course, is that we too are sheep. All of us who are elders in this church, we need cared for, we need fed and protected as well. We depend on the Lord Jesus Christ just as much in the same way as every other Christian. We need his grace to forgive us our sins. We need his guidance for our life choices. We need his wisdom in our family circumstances. We need his courage for our witness. Every under-shepherd, every church elder should depend upon the chief shepherd in prayer. Plead with the chief shepherd in all that he does. You might wonder what even happens at session meetings. Well, yes, plans are made and decisions are discussed, but it's a sign of a healthy session if a good amount of time at every meeting is spent in prayer. In my own experience, the more time elders give to prayer, the more easily whatever other business needs seen to will flow. And so that's what your elders do when we regularly meet together. We pray for you by name, by need, by family. We ask for help and wisdom to pastor you, for you to be fed God's word, to protect you as the flock. We ask the chief shepherd to bless and build and grow this church, not for our glory, but for his, and knowing that we have no power to do it ourselves. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, the one who lovingly leads us, the one who feeds us, the one who, as we sang earlier, protects all his saints, all his sheep, the one who laid down his life for his sheep to be saved. And he says too that he will build his church. And so ultimately, yes, the job of every church elder is daunting, it is demanding. It requires all of our strength, all of our grace, all of our sacrifice, all of our love. But we do it with our eyes fixed upon the chief shepherd. And our job is to keep the focus of all of you on the chief shepherd. Believe in him this evening. Walk with him until eventually, as Peter says here, the chief shepherd appears and we receive that unfading crown of glory. Amen.